Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let us give thanks for God's words. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that it is our guide, and indeed, it is our foundation. That we know, Lord, that sometimes we let the things of the world find its way into your truth, or at least the truth that resides in us. And so now, Father, we ask that you help us to shed the things of the world, to focus only on your truth, to receive it into our hearts, and to live it out in our lives. For we know that these are the things that you have spoken to us. Help us to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me first say, welcome back. And I don't mean the building. And I don't mean the fact that we're here once again yet gathered together. But what I mean is welcome back to the beginning. That when we were found by Jesus, that when we were saved by Jesus, that when he opened up our hearts to us, or to him rather, that he brought us back to this moment of true faith. Now we as believers, as we prepare today to celebrate the baptism of new believers, that as older believers, more mature believers, preferably and hopefully stronger believers, that we are brought back to this moment. That we are brought back to look at this and to see this as it was truly meant to be. But I know that sometimes that when we talk about the commandments, you know, the Ten Commandments, and then we look at the Beatitudes here and we want to talk about those a little bit kind of like they were the commandments or that they are the new commandments in a way. But they are not. They stand alone, and they stand in work with the Ten Commandments. So both belong in our lives. That as we see these things and try to understand them and we bring ourselves back to them, we have to remember just exactly what it is that Jesus is trying to tell us here. Now, before we get started, as we look at verse 1 here, if we see here now, when Jesus saw the crowds, okay, he first sees this crowd of people around him. Now, they've been following him around for a little while because he's performing miracles. He's healing people. He's healing not only their bodies, but their souls. He's performing these things. They want to walk and follow Jesus, so they're walking around, and he looks out, and he sees this crowd of people. This is his response. He went up on a mountainside and sat down. Now, this is the posture of a teacher. This is the posture that he would take to call them to come learn. Now, he doesn't call all of the crowd to him. Rather, he calls his disciples. His disciples came to him. And they sit down around him, and he begins to teach them. Now, these are men who are following Jesus. Jesus looks and he sees this crowd, and the expectation will be for them is that then they are going to go and teach that crowd. They will be the ones that lead them and guide them. They will be the ones that show them their faith, that they will be the ones who share this good news of Jesus Christ. We don't see that happening just yet. Everybody's learning. Everybody is being prepared. The time will come when Christ has died and Christ has risen, that then this will be handed off to them. But as Jesus prepares them for all the things that they need to learn, all the things that they need to teach others, he reminds them and shows them and teaches them that this is the most important thing. Your hearts. Your hearts. And that is why we have come back here, to remember what this means in our hearts. Not so much of how we know in comparison to what someone else may know. Not so much in comparison to the authority that we may or may not have. Not in the comparison to a tradition that either has a basis in Scripture or doesn't. But rather so that we can look upon ourselves and see the hearts that follow Jesus. Now, as we move on into this, then there's a couple of words that we need to talk about. And the first word, then, is a beatitude. What is a beatitude? Well, a beatitude is nothing but the condition of the heart of the believer. The beatitude, then, is our attitude. What is the priority in our lives? What is the impetus? What is it that drives us in our lives? What causes us to stand by another broken person and to introduce them to Jesus Christ? What motivates us to do the things that we do as believers that are faithful and obedient to Jesus Christ? Our hearts. Our attitudes. I truly hope that we all understand that the people that we are baptizing today aren't being baptized because we put them down in front of a 100-question test and they answered all the questions correctly. They had a good score, and so we decided that we would baptize them today. You see, our understanding is that they're baptized today because they are infants in Jesus Christ. But they have hearts that follow him, that hearts that desire to live with him. So we see ourselves then in them, in the attitude of the believer when they first fell in love with Jesus. Another word that we need to look at is blessed, or as sometimes I'll say, you hear me saying it both ways, blessed. Now, before we get too carried away with that, let's just remember this one thing. What he's saying here is that you are fortunate. You are fortunate if you are these things, because you recognize that you are these things. So it wasn't something, a blessing we never really truly see as something that we deserve, but rather a blessing was something that God conveyed upon us because of his love and his grace. So let's take a look at a couple of these. We're not going to go through them all. I hope you do when you leave here. I hope you go home and read the rest of them. So you can be reminded, if you don't know Jesus and you are here today, then I would ask that you would look at those in the sense that this is the simple thing that Jesus asks us to believe in him. So let's look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Excuse me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There comes a time that we recognize that we have a need, that we realize that there is something in us that is unsatisfied. And what we find when we respond to that in the world, we look at things of the world to try to satisfy that need. Sometimes it's something as radical as maybe a drug, or something in the form of over excess or abuse of things like alcohol, or just greed. We got to have more. So we think that we can satisfy those needs. But what Jesus is telling us here is that he wants us to understand that you recognize that you have this need, that you are poor in spirit, that you cannot answer any need without this. But you must come to terms and you must come to recognize that. You must bring yourself to understand that you have needs that only Jesus can meet. That without him, without his love, without his presence in your life, that you will never, ever be satisfied. And if you reach that point where you don't need Jesus, then you will never find yourself in the kingdom of heaven. Let's be perfectly clear. These are Jesus' words. Jesus said this. There is no other truth. But we recognize in ourselves, now as believers who've been believers for quite some time, or as new believers, that they recognize in themselves that they have a need that only Jesus can meet. This is a spiritual need by all things considered. That they recognize, and that we once recognized, and probably still do recognize, that we all are poor in spirit. And that only the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, and God the Father can help us, can save us. Now down in verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I think that as we talk to those who are about to be baptized, as we try to understand who they are and the faith that they're coming, the one thing that I look for, because I once felt that myself, was this hunger and this thirst for the righteousness of God. It was a desire. It was a pull. It was something that they can't explain, and something that sometimes I wonder if I can explain it very well, but only in the sense that they feel that in their hearts, that it pulled them forward and that it finally helped them to make the proclamation that they needed Jesus. And the reason I say that, I remember that I had that once, and I still wonder if I have that, because I think in over time, we start to become complacent. We start to become kind of dead in heart. And that as our hearts sometimes, you know, grow hardened, you know, from just being in the world and being in life, that we forget truly our first love. That we forget what it was that originally that brought us to have this hunger and this thirst to know the righteousness of God. To stand in his way and his will. To be in a place that we would trust God and God alone. That we would obey God and God alone. Because as we seek Jesus for this need, and we ask him to fill us with his righteousness, help us, Lord. We hunger and we thirst for what you have, for that righteousness that you offer. And he gives it to us, and it shows in our lives in that we recognize that he is the one who has filled us. Christ is the one who has fed us and quenched our thirst. Loved ones, no matter how many times we baptize somebody, no matter how many times that we go through a process like this, for a baby dedication or for whatever it is, we must always bring ourselves back to this memory. That we once hungered and thirsted for Jesus like they did. Where did it go? How did we lose that? How did it fade away into all the other things of what we believe church and the body of Christ is supposed to be and our faith? Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Jesus lays this out simply, very plainly. If you don't love God and you don't love Jesus, you will not see him. In other words, you won't know him in this world and he won't know you in the next. So we find ourselves in the situation of heaven and hell. And Jesus says there's a way to be saved. There's a way to find yourself in the presence of God for all eternity and in life. And he says, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, right away, we look at this and we think, well, man, you know, a pure heart would be a perfect heart. But it's not. If God is waiting for us to have perfect hearts, all of us are in a little bit of trouble. If there's a perfect heart in here today, I want to know who you are. We have some things to talk about. But here's what Jesus means when he tells us pure of heart. You see, when Jesus gets a hold of you, he grows you. He doesn't leave you alone. He doesn't expect you to be full grown when you're born again. He expects you to be an infant, a baby in Christ. And so he continues to work on us and cleanse us. We call it sanctifying. He continues to make our heart pure. So that one day, then, when we stand in his presence in judgment, he will make it pure once and for all. But we have this thing of sin that we have to deal with, the sinful nature that resides in all of us. And that as we sin against God, then Jesus helps us in forgiveness. But we have to turn to him. We have to be pure of heart. In other words, we have to love God with all that we are. Inside, as well as outside. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think back when I first became a believer, and I think about that time that, you know, that I fell in love with Jesus Christ, that I understand my need, I understand that if I trust and obey him, that he would be the one who would feed me and quench my thirst. When I understood all of that of myself and the weaknesses that I had of myself, and I turned to Jesus for his grace and his salvation, he gave me this one simple thing that I had to do. Love him. Honestly and truly. Love him. Inside and out. I think that as a pastor, I think that sometimes I err on the side where I expect people to meet certain rules or expectations and forget to check on the love of my heart. I forget to look and remember the hunger and the thirst that I had for Jesus Christ who could meet those things. You see, when it boils all down to the bottom line, I could not save myself. Only Jesus could. And Jesus is the one who put it in my heart. You see, that's what we're looking for here today. That's what we're expecting here today. That as they give their hearts to Jesus Christ, it was nothing that we did. It wasn't because they have an amazing teacher in Pastor Ben. Okay, don't disagree with that, but it wasn't because they came to Faith Bible Church, and Faith Bible Church, you know, is the church that saves people. No, that's not why. It wasn't because they sat next to you or me, but rather it was because Jesus Christ opened up their hearts to understand the need that they had so that they would hunger and thirst for his righteousness. And so that then he would begin this process of purifying their hearts. To make them pure, because they love him inside and out. Who cannot pass that test? Who cannot understand that all I got to do is love Jesus and then the rest takes place? You see, for a guy like me, that's the kind of simple stuff that I need. When you have a simple mind, and sometimes to the verge of people calling me simpleton, I need to understand these simple things. And Jesus gives them to us so that we can teach others just like he did for his disciples. As believers who have lived life and who are living in Christ, it is our responsibility then to sit down and to teach because the Master has sat down and taught us. This will be their responsibility too. Because you see, they will have all the necessary qualifications that they need. They love Jesus. Yeah, I get it. They may not understand some things about Scripture. You know, I still don't. But that's not what makes us qualified. What makes us qualified is the proclamation that they are about to make today. And one last thing that I would like to leave you with as we get ready for this amazing event. We look into this dark world as believers who were saved in Jesus Christ a long time ago. And maybe we don't reflect enough on what it was that Jesus has done. We reflect more on what we're supposed to do. And as a pastor, I think I'm one of those that leads the way sometimes down that path. What can I do next that make more people to know Jesus? What can I do next to grow this church or to grow any church? I can remember who I love. And I can remember to be faithful. Because I think the more that we look at what we try to do, we forget this one thing. Jesus didn't come in here to save Faith Bible Church. He came in here to save the hearts of the believers who show up. He came in here to help us to remember that we all have a responsibility to the teacher. That we are fortunate. That we are blessed. Now, loved ones, as we look at today, I want you to understand that we are in a struggle. We always have been. It's just becoming more visible right now. But Christ is still in charge. He is still our God, and He still leads us. He has not let us go. He will not forsake us if we don't forsake Him. So if you want to see revival in the church, not only this one, but all of them, then you start with your hearts. Revive your heart in Jesus Christ. And the church will be revived. Because you are the church. If you don't know Jesus, redemption is only a heart away. Redemption is just loving someone. You don't have to wear a suit and a tie to do it. As a matter of fact, Jesus will come and find you when you're at your worst. But He will love you like no other. And what He calls you to do is to love Him in return. And He will teach you the rest. Father, I just thank You so much for Your loved ones here today. I thank You, Father, that You bring us together to rejoice in one of the things that You've called us to do. And that was to baptize Your believers. And that we know, Lord, that as we bring ourselves to this obedience, it's because we trust You and because we love You, Lord, that we do have hearts for You. So we thank You, Father, for this blessing. We are indeed fortunate that You have called out some to be baptized today. And so we ask, Lord, that all we would do today, that it brings it worthy to You, that it makes it honorable to Your name, that we bring You the glory, Lord. So we thank You for Your truth in this. We thank You for the reminder that baptism isn't just for those who come to Christ for the first time. But rather it's for all of us. That it's our reminder. And so help us to remember today, Lord, that you're the God who saves. That You gave us Your Son who died for our sins because He loved us. And that He was risen from the dead so that we would know that He was God, Son of God. And that we know, Lord, that He will come again in judgment of all mankind. And as He does, Lord, we will be prepared. And we will help as many others as You place in front of us, Lord, to be ready for Your return. And it's in Christ's name, and it's because of Christ's sacrifice that we're able to ask these things. Amen.